truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Children are dismissed at this time.
Let's pray, shall we? Gracious God, thank you for this revelation from the very lips of Jesus, from his own voice. He is the door. He is the way. Lord, would you take this word, apply it to our lives? Would you teach us and show us what this means for us today? And Lord, would you cause your word by your Spirit to transform us into the people of God you call us to be? Lord, to that end, I ask for the gift of preaching upon, for apart from your Holy Spirit, I have nothing to add to your holy word. I pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So John chapter 10. You know, there are many voices calling us to follow them. If you just stop and listen, if you consider the things of popular culture and media, if you listen to political voices, if you listen to the philosophers of our age, if you ask what's important, people are calling us to follow them. Occasionally, I end up flying KLM, that's the Dutch Royal Airlines. Don't do it often, but I do it sometimes when I'm over there. And they sent me, you know, because I'm a close friend of theirs, they sent me an email this week inviting me to share my opinions with them, because they really care about what I think. They sent me a personal email. And they wanted me to, you know, grade their services. And there were about 25 questions. Now, normally I would hit that delete button. The last time I flew with them, they left a bitter taste in my mouth. So I took that personal invitation that they sent to share my deep inner feelings with them. And what was interesting was about three questions had to do with whether they get me from point A to point B on time comfortably. The other questions they asked were about environmental sustainability and how important that is to me. Now, the last time I flew with them, actually it was their partner, Air France, they left me in Liberia for 2 extra days. When I had paid to get on the aircraft and come home, they told me I couldn't. I was way less concerned about sustainability than I was about getting back to the United States of America. What's my point? My point is that their question wasn't a question at all. Their questions about how important sustainability is to me is a proclamation for me to follow them in care about these things. That's what it was. They desire to shape my worldview more than the timeliness of my world travel. And if you have ears to hear, you will hear many voices calling us to follow them. So my question is this: how confident are you that you recognize truth when you hear it? And do you genuinely follow it? That's the question. And today's text is about this very question. The context of John chapter 10 is this ongoing discussion that actually has begun in chapter 9. There was a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees about a man who was born blind. Remember that conversation? A man was born blind, and Jesus, they asked Jesus, well, you know, this, look at this blind guy, right? Whose fault is it that he's blind? Who sinned? Was it his parents who sinned? And so God's getting even with them? Or was it his own sin? Because clearly, if bad things happen, there's something that you have done to bring it upon yourself. That's the underlying belief. Which, by the way, is the definition of performance-based religion. Right. And Jesus says, neither his parents nor him who sinned. He was just born blind. Now, did Jesus say that his parents didn't sin? And that he didn't sin? No. He's saying it's not their sin that caused the blindness of their child. It's not the, I mean, even think about that. The child sinned in the womb, and so he came out blind? I mean, that's just crazy. So Jesus is having this conversation, with this discussion with the Pharisees about this. And in chapter 9, he debunks PBR, or at least partially. He undermines one segment of it, that, you know, you do good things. If you want good things to happen to you, and by the way, we believe this, so many of us. If you want good things, then you got to make good choices. And so we make the best choices possible, and then when bad things still happen to us, what do we say? Lord, what happened? It's not fair. You owe me, Lord. Now, we don't actually say it that way, because that would be too blatant to our own ears and would catch us up, and we'd say, that doesn't sound right. But if we do good things, we expect the blessings of God. And Jesus debunks that. And he says, no, sometimes, because it's a fallen, broken, sinful, evil place, sometimes children are just born blind. Bad things are in this space because of sin in the world. He was born blind because of the garden. That's why he was born blind. And so Jesus debunks PBR, and it leads to this bigger conversation then about the character of Christ's saving activity throughout the whole chapter in chapter 10. And we're going to see just a portion of that this week, and we'll look at another portion of it next week. In other words, if God's blessing and salvation do not come through PBR, they don't come through performance-based religion. If we don't earn it and we don't deserve it, who gets it? Who gets the blessings of God? Who is included in salvation? And how are those people saved? It seems so up in the air. These are the questions that are answered in John chapter 10 in the first 10 verses. So, let's take a closer look together, shall we? Verse 1 says this, Amen, amen, lego humen. What? Amen, amen, lego humen. Truly, I say to you, by the way, truly, it's amen. Now, we think you put amen at the end of the prayer. Well, Jesus puts it in the beginning of the statement in this case. Amen, amen. Let it be so, let it be so. Truly, truly. Listen up, is what he says. I say to you that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Well, now, so, we don't live in a very agrarian society. Even if we live in an agrarian county, most of us aren't farmers. There's a few of us who actually were farmers, like Art, and then there are people like Steve who thinks he's a farmer. He's what we call a gentleman farmer. He can, you know, it's like, you know, the old story. How do you make $1 million, $2 million, $1 million, you know, in farming? We start with $2 million. Right? And you keep farming until you're down to a million. That's not true. He actually is a farmer. He produces quality hay and sells it for a living. So are you a better engineer or a better farmer?
Probably a better engineer.
Okay. Yeah. If you ask him what he does for a living, he'll tell you he's an engineer. But so we're not an agrarian folk, even though we have some scattered in our midst. I don't think we got any sheep herders here, do we? But if you go to Israel in the first century, you find all kinds of sheep herders. And so we don't really know what sheepfolds are. Well, I mean, you can just tell by the context, it's obviously a place where you put the sheep. But specifically in a small village in Palestine in the first century, there would, because of wolves and predators and thieves and robbers, they would build stone fences and they would put all the sheep that belonged to all the city, all the little village, they would put all, you know, there might be two or three or five flocks of sheep, and they would herd them all into this sheepfold. And then they would put somebody at the door to watch the sheepfold. And of course, you know, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, of course, is a robber or a thief. If you had the sheep and you own some of those sheep, of course, the watchman of the door would know it. The under-shepherd of the sheep would know that some of these sheep are yours and you could just come and go. But if you found someone late at night sneaking over the back fence, it's a good indication that's not an owner of the sheep. That man is a thief and a robber. That's what Jesus says. So the first time in 10 verses, he identifies a thief and a robber. But he says, he who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He has the right to go in and out. There's no question about whether, you know, the shepherd never crawls over the back fence. He only would do that if he had good reason. He just is going to go through the door. Verse 3 says, to him the gatekeeper opens. The one who's manning the door recognizes the shepherd as he's approaching, and he opens it for him and says, hi there, come on in. These are your sheep, at least some of them. And the sheep hear his voice. Now, this is the interesting thing about sheep. There's, you know, 100 sheep in there, but only 15 of them belong to this guy. And his 15 sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, don't the other sheep want to escape? Don't they try to get in with the crowd? They're like, hey, I'm sick of being in here. I keep stepping in stuff I don't want to step in. I think I'll go out to green pastures. Is that the way sheep work? No, that isn't the way sheep work. That is the way horses work. They always want to go up to the green grass. And cows too. But not the sheep, because they're afraid. In other words, nothing is left to chance when it comes to belonging to the sheepfold. If you're in the sheepfold, you're there because you belong in the sheepfold, because you belong to the shepherd. If you're in the sheepfold, you hear the voice of the shepherd, you know his voice, and when he calls it, you're aware. He calls your name, he says, you're mine, and you recognize. See, Jesus what is he doing? He's giving us an analogy of salvation, isn't he? Right? He's giving us this word picture. It's the same word that is used for parable, though the way we describe a biblical parable, there aren't any in the Gospel of John. But that's the word that's used here, parable. He's using an analogy. He's using a figure of speech. And he's saying, this is the way salvation is. The shepherd is intentional. He's protecting his flock. There's a stone fence. There's a gate. There's a gatekeeper. There's protection. He doesn't walk out and find a bunch of other critters in the sheep pen every night. He knows who his sheep are, and they're there. Now, even if they're mixed in with other ones, he will lead them out. How's that? Because he knows them by name. He recognizes them. He picks them out. He draws them. He leads them. It's the nature and the character of the shepherd is to know his flock. It's not accidentally. You could even say they were chosen. How about that? And they hear his voice. And when he opens the gate and walks in there and then turns around and walks out and does his own little unique whistle, they follow him. You know, they say in the West, when Rob and I were in Greece in 2011, we decided we were going to go to Philippi. We decided instead of taking the highway, we were going to go up over the mountain. And we got to the top of the mountain, and a herd of sheep came across the road with a shepherd and sheepdogs. And they were herding the sheep. The sheepdogs and the shepherd herd the sheep. That's what happens in the West. That's not what happens with Eastern shepherds. They lead. They speak. They whistle and they walk. And how do you know which sheep are theirs? Because their sheep follow. Right. So, you know, that begs the question. What if, well, I'm the sheep. Well, where's your master? Well, he's out there with the rest of the flock, but I just decided I'm going to take the day off. I'm here in the sheep pen. You know, there's still a little feed they left here for me, and I needed a little self-care time. You mean you didn't follow the shepherd? Nah. Well, then what's what we can say about that sheep? It's not part of the flock. It doesn't belong to the shepherd. If you belong to the shepherd, you hear his voice, he leads, and then that might imply what?
You follow.
You follow. Yeah. When he has brought them all, they have brought out all his own. So this is a word, pontos, all, that rings throughout John's gospel. All. Well, how do you know it's all? Because the shepherd knows whether or not it's all. And he doesn't stop bringing out the sheep until he has all of his own. He doesn't, like, okay, I'm in a hurry, I gotta get going, you're all coming with me or not, you decide. No, he doesn't leave until he knows he's got every one of them. Because they matter to him. Because they're his. And he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Beautiful picture that Jesus is talking about. Of course, we keep hearing about sheep and shepherds, but Jesus isn't talking about sheep and shepherds, is he? Why do they follow? They follow him because they know him. They follow him because they belong to him. How do they know him? They know him because they just do. How did you know who your mother was when you were 1 year old? How did you know that? How did you know that she was your mother? She didn't walk in the room every time and say, "Hi, honey, I'm your mommy. I'm here now." No, we got to do that in old age when people forget who we are. But we don't have to do that. I mean, that's not even funny. I don't need to. Sometimes we make jokes out of it, but it's not funny. We forget in our old age who people are. We don't. A child who knows nothing knows who its mother is. Right? When I owned and bred horses, I one time had two mares and they had two foals at the same time. They didn't confuse the foals. The mares didn't get confused as to who belonged to what. In fact, they would quickly kick out at something that didn't belong to them. They would push them away. They weren't nice to the other mare's foal. And the foals, when the moms made that nickering sound, those foals lined up with the mother. They didn't accidentally go to the other one. They went to their own. How did they know? You just do. It's the way it works. So who determines flock makeup? I don't mean what are we wearing today on our face makeup. I mean, what's the makeup of the flock? How do you know whether... Who determines whether you're in the flock or out of the flock?
I didn't understand that.
Do the shepherd, do the sheep get to vote on that? You know, I didn't like playing kickball in elementary school. Because guys like Mark and I always got picked last. But... you know, there wasn't like, here's two captains or five captains or 10 captains of the team, go stand by who you want to stand with. That's not how it worked. The shepherd is the one who determines who belongs to him. That's one of the principles of salvation. The shepherd is the one who determines who's in his sheepfold. Verse 5 says, a stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, and they do not know the voice of strangers. You know, don't forget the context of this. This is all the context of the question about whether the man born blind was because of, you know, sin of his parents or the sin of the man who was born blind. Now, who's asking this question? The Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees are the religious leaders, right? They're the people who are supposed to tell you how to think about life and how to wonder about the brokenness and the sadness and the trials of life and who can I trust and where will I go? And they don't know about it themselves. Because they're strangers. The sheep do not belong to them. And so the sheep are scattered because the shepherds of Israel aren't really shepherds at all. And verse 6 says this figure of speech, there's that word parable, Jesus used with them. But they, who's they? The Pharisees. The Pharisees did not understand what he was saying to them. Why? Why did they not understand what he was saying? Yes, you made the connection. Because they didn't recognize his voice. That's why. They didn't understand it because they didn't belong to the shepherd. They were not his sheep. Well, Pastor, sometimes I read the Bible and I don't understand. So what does that mean? I'm not a Christian? No. That's not what that means. There's everybody in this room sometimes reads the Bible and doesn't understand what it means. That's why we, you know, go off to book learning school. You know where that is? It's the place where all the books are. The second point is this, that those who belong to Christ recognize his voice and they follow him. We who are his sheep recognize the voice of God. Why is it that someone who has wandered for so long one day wakes up and says, there's something else going on here and I don't know what it is, but I need to find out. Some of you, that's your testimony. Some of you grew up in the church and you were like me. I said, by the way, this was me. Every time they opened the church door, they pushed me through it. Right? To which people say, oh, you can't make your kids go to church because they'll rebel. They'll bail out. Or they'll become pastors. But others of you, either grew up in the church and kind of wandered away, wandered out, or maybe you weren't in the church at all, but one day you woke up and you said, huh, something's going on here that I don't quite get. Someone moved the cheese on you. You know, like little mice going through a maze, you get used to it. And then one day they move the cheese and you're like, whoa, what happened? Where'd the cheese go? I'm all discombobulated. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. One day, you think you got it all figured out, and you're going through life, and then one day, the answer doesn't work anymore. And well, something that happens happens with our performance-based religion, too. Oh, well, if I just do the right thing, God will bless me. Oh, if I do the right thing, God will bless me. Oh, if I do the right thing, God will bless me. One day, somebody does something that hurts you deeply, and you did nothing to deserve it. But bad things happen in this world. And you have to stop and go, whoa, what was that about? And sometimes it's about our very salvation. Those who belong to Christ recognize his voice, and they follow him. Then we come to verse 7, which is really the center of this passage, not the geographic center, not the actual numbering of verses center, but the focal point that says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, Greek, we come to that phrase, ego eimi, in Greek, I am, and we've already discussed this for several weeks now. First we heard Jesus say that he was the light of the world, and then we heard him say that he was the bread of life, and last week we heard Pastor Sean say that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through me. And here today, we hear Jesus say, I am the door. John's use of that Exodus motif where Jesus goes back and he, from that time of Moses at the burning bush, when God tells Moses to go off and tell the people of Israel that are enslaved in Egypt, I'm going to lead you out, and then go to Pharaoh and say to him, let my people go. And Moses is like, you got the wrong guy. I can't do that. I got speech problems. I'm afraid of public speaking. That's the biggest fear in life, don't you know? I know a guy who dropped out of high school, never graduated, because he didn't want to give a speech in the 10th grade. So you kind of get, Moses' concern. And God said, that's not an option, you're going. And he said, well, who do I say sent me? And the Lord said, tell them that I am sent you, right? This self-existent one. I am the one who needs no explanation. That's who I am, says Yahweh. And so when Jesus appropriates this language in John's gospel, his message is clear. He's saying, I am one with the Father. I am Yahweh. I am the door of the sheep, Jesus says. And all who come before me are thieves and robbers. Well, what? There it is the second time, thieves and robbers. Who came before Jesus? What does that mean, the prophets of the Old Testament? Who? No. The false teachers. It's not just the false teachers, it is the false teachers, but there are a lot of false prophets also, right? And there are false messianic claims. And whether or not they actually said they were messianic or not, there are people who said, if you follow me, I will make everything okay for you. Those same voices that we hear today, follow us. We know the way. We know how to save the planet Earth. We know what is ailing human beings. We have all the problems. You'll own nothing, and you will like it. Who are those who came before? The kings, the politicians, the prophets, the false teachers. Those who promised Yochobi. You just adopt our worldview. Those are the ones who came before Jesus, and they're still coming toward us. And what does Jesus say? They're thieves and they're robbers. They're thieves and robbers. Why? Because people put their hope for salvation in somebody who can't produce it. They put their hope in someone who can't deliver. And they usually take all their money at the same time. If you give us 80% in taxes, we'll make sure that your life is good. And at the other end, we're wearing masks, we can't breathe in public, and we've been taking our tax dollars. Yeah. But the good news is this. The sheep, they don't listen to that. As Colonel Potter once said, you know who Colonel Potter is? Remember him? The skipper of MASH. Don't listen to that, Frank. It's horse hockey. Well, I'm from Michigan where they play a lot of hockey, and I never saw horses doing that. The sheep just don't listen. And then Jesus said it again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved.
Amen.
And he will go in and out and find pasture. Now, if you weren't sure if Jesus was appropriating Old Testament language that identified him with the Messiah, with the I am statement, the ego eimi, well, look at this. We'll read that again, just so you don't skip it. Just so you don't miss it. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. No.
Oh, whoops.
Numbers chapter 27, the know-it-all corner over here. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God, the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as a sheep that have no shepherd. So Jesus is co-opting this statement by Moses, this prayer of Moses, and he is saying, I am the answer to Moses' prayer. Wow. Wow. You think you're God's gift to us. And Jesus says, yes. So in 1 John chapter 10, verse 10, he says the third time, the thief comes, only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief, who is that thief? Well, he said it three times now, verse 1, verse 8, and verse 10, and Art says it's the devil. Who agrees with Art? Raise your hand if you agree with Art. Okay, but in context, let's be fair. He said those who came before, right? The teachers of PBR, the false hope, the false prophets, the false teachers.
They were working.
And they were working for who?
The devil.
The devil himself. So Art's correct. He just needs to slow down before he gets there a little bit. But that's long been his problem. That's right. Those false teachers, those purveyors of performance-based religion, those prophets that don't produce, those people that make promises that rob the wealth of the people they're trying to help. Whether they know it or not, and probably most of them don't. Probably the vast majority of them don't. They're working for the devil himself. Because he's the father of all lies. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus isn't satisfied with his people having eternal life. He's not. He wants them to have it abundantly. Now, this is where the bad preaching takes off and says, you know, you can have your best life now. And that's usually about wealth, and that's usually about all kinds of, you know, health and wealth and fancy cars and good stuff. Is that abundant life? Well, you can have your best life now. That's actually a true statement. Old Joel borrowed a new phrase. Just what he thinks it means is probably not what it actually means. Because the abundant life doesn't say you're going to be healthy and wealthy. It means that no matter what you go through, you know that the sovereign God of the universe is the shepherd that leads the way, and you hear his voice, and you know it, and you follow him, and he cares for you all the way home.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean that our marriages won't be challenged, and our kids won't do stupid things, and it doesn't mean that all of our bills every month for on time and still have extra in the bank. It doesn't mean that you won't hear bad news from the doctor one day. In fact, I can guarantee this. If the Lord tarries, you will die. But you will go home to the sheep pen, guided by the good shepherd all the way. And you will know his voice. That's abundant. To have confidence that it don't matter what this world brings, even if they're right, even if the globe is going to burn up, guess what? You're going to be fine because you belong to the Good Shepherd. Well, you can't say that. What about stewardship of the earth? I'm for stewardship of the earth. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying there isn't a good answer for this stuff over here. What I'm saying is, keep our eyes fixed on the shepherd and hear his voice and follow him.
Yes.
Because every other voice is a false teacher that brings false promise. Jesus is the door to the sheep pen. Well, we heard from Matthew what Jesus said. Why is the gate? Why is the road that leads to destruction and many go down? But narrow is the gate. Narrow is the road. And only a few find it. And the ones who find it are the ones who belong to him. Jesus is the door to the sheep pen. Jesus is the door to belonging. Jesus is the door to peace with God. Jesus is the door to the kingdom of God. Jesus is the door to flourishing in the life that God calls us to live here now. Jesus is the door to eternal life. He is the only door. So what is the nature and character of this shepherd? Well, he's intentional. Say, you know, that whole reform thing, I don't know about that. You know, limited atonement, I don't know about that. Well, I do know this. The shepherd is intentional. He's not just throwing it out there. Nowhere in here can you confound this message with the notion that Jesus said to the sheep, hey, I'd like everybody to be part of my flock. Come on in. And if you come, great. And if you don't, that's okay too. There is no part of this that aligns with that understanding of salvation. good news to those who recognize his voice.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, you can't just show up and tell people they're not saved and they're never going to have no chance. I didn't say that. I'm not saying they're not part of his sheepfold. They're still coming. Right? This is the problem. You know, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. If you could like say, you know, push the button, you know, and the, you know, the seals when they go through their, you know, their hell week, when they're going through their buds, their, what's that called? The
buds.
Basic underwater demolition. School. All you gotta do is go ring the bell and it's over with. And you check out. If we had that bell here, and it's like, just when you're sick of life, just come up and ring that bell and Jesus will come back and wrap it all up. I fear there'd be a really long line. And you better not be small and weak and old, because I'm getting to the front of the line. Looked like Sean when I did that, didn't I? And yet at the same time, some people that I love very deeply are not in that sheep pen yet. And I really want to be. Boy, do I want them to be. So we pray. And while we say, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we also say, tarry. Tarry until you bring them in. And he is intentional. And if they belong to him, guess what? I guarantee you, they will. And he will lead. Because he is the door to that abundant life. Friends, are you in that sheepfold? There's a lot of voices calling, follow me. Which one are you listening to? There's a lot of voices. It's like a transistor radio trying to find the Tigers game at midnight when they're playing on the West Coast. There's a lot of static. Anybody else from Michigan? Any other blessed people from Michigan?
I have close enough.
Ernie Harwell was the voice of the Tigers. I'm not crying over Ernie Harwell, who happened to be a believer, by the way, interesting enough. But here's the deal, here's the point. When you're a baseball fan in Michigan, and they're playing the Los Angeles Angels or the Anaheim Angels, the California Angels in those days, that game didn't even start till 10:30. And you had to go to bed. But it didn't mean you didn't have your little transistor radio under your covers trying to hear something good come out of Los Angeles. And you heard all kinds of static and noise, and then you heard the voice of Ernie. If you ever heard Ernie Harwell, you'll never forget it. And that's the point. The sheep hear his voice, and they know it. And they say, that's the station I need to listen to. Do you know his voice? Jesus, not Ernie Harwell. Will you follow him? And our brokenness. Lord Jesus, would you
draws us.
Would you cause us to hear your voice clearly? Would you cause your Holy Spirit to tune in that station where we hear your voice and your voice only? Lord, let us silence all the other voices in our life. Sometimes they belong to family and loved ones. Sometimes they belong to the cool people in our sphere. Sometimes they're people whose approval we seek. Sometimes they're cultural leaders or voices. Sometimes they're politicians. Would you tune our ears to hear only your voice? May we know you. May we follow you. And may our understanding, our view of the life that you will lead us to, expect the abundancy that you desire as you lead us through this broken world. We pray in Jesus' name.